Verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 3, let me read it to you once again. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We as believers have two very important spiritual relationships in our lives. We have our relationship with God, which is uppermost and most important of those two relationships, but we also have a relationship with one another, and we require both of them in order to have a balanced and productive life for the glory of God. We need both of the encouragement that we have of walking in faith with God and the encouragement that we receive from one another. The Lord has designed us in such a way that we relate to each other. And when it comes to the local church and our care and our concern for each other, the Lord has placed us here with that very much in mind. We are here both to be encouraged and be encouragers of others. And so I come to you with a few thoughts this afternoon about the subject of caring for and exhorting one another, and remind you first of all that the Lord cares for us. There is the source of all of our caring for one another. The Lord cares for us. Sometimes we get discouraged with things that happen to us. We look at the problems and the difficulties and we're tempted to think, where is God? Why is he allowing me to go through all of these things? Does he not see what is happening to me? And of course he sees. And he tells us through the words of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, he tells us to cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for us. One of the most terrible accusations that we could ever level against God is that he has forgotten us, or that he doesn't care about us. To doubt his love for us is a terrible accusation against God. The Church of Jesus Christ is God's by virtue of the Saviour's dying blood. We are to be a bride for his Son. And he loves us moment by moment with an omnipotent care. And when we're tempted to think that God has forgotten us, or hasn't taken note of us, or doesn't know what's occurring in our lives, we are reminded of the words of the Saviour in Matthew 6 and verse 32, when he tells us that our Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Nothing in our life takes him by surprise. He cares for us. And he proves his care for us when he sent his Son to be our Saviour. Rather than leaving us to our sins and the judgments that would undoubtedly follow, the Lord had mercy upon us, elected us by his love, sent his only begotten Son into this world to be the Saviour of men, to go to the cross, to die there for our sins, that we might be washed and cleansed and brought again into the family of God. We look at the Lord Jesus Christ as being the very epitome of God's love toward us. The Saviour himself saying in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then he went on to speak about the hireling. The hireling, he says, flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But of course, the Lord Jesus, as the good shepherd, he cares for his sheep. The Father cares about us. The Son cares about us. He cares about his sheep. And before the Savior left this world, he spoke to his disciples, reminding them that I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world, to the end of the age. And having left us physically, He sent His Spirit to dwell in us, that we might be filled with His Spirit, to know that the Lord is ever near, present in our lives, caring for us moment by moment. The Lord is our good shepherd. Then when we think of our relationships with others, and especially within the church, you'll know that the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is the good shepherd, but He has placed in His church those that are referred to as bishops or under-shepherds. Sometimes we refer to them as elders or pastors. And He has given instruction to those that He has appointed. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, they are instructed to take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. And so the Lord appointed within His church those with responsibility to care for the people in His absence. Those elders are under shepherds, and they are to care for the sheep. And one day we will give an account unto the good shepherd as to how we have taken care of His flock. That's not the only relationship that we see this exemplified. We can think of our families. And if you're blessed in that you were brought up in a home where the Lord was known and loved as God and Savior, there's tremendous value in that the love of God can be exemplified in the life of family members. There's a care to be seen there, with husband and wife working together to provide and to care for the families that God has given them. And it's no surprise when we read through the scriptures how God works through families. We can think even of the covenant promises given to the likes of Abraham, where God had promised not only to be his God, but the God of his children and his children's children also. The Lord adds to his church to a large degree through the families of believing parents. We pray for our children and for our families that God has placed in our care. But we also have a responsibility to one another. As a fellowship of Christians, we are to care for one another. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 and following, Paul says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." So in other words, God means that the care that He demonstrates to us as His children should not simply stop with us, but should flow through us and around us into our church, into our homes, into our families, and to those that are around us, that we have a care and a concern for one another. So over the last few weeks, we've seen that we are to love one another, be accepting of one another, serve one another, forgive one another, and this afternoon I want you to see how we are also to exhort one another. So we come to Hebrews 3 and verse 13, and you'll see that we read there, "Exhort one another." So what does it mean to exhort? Well, it can mean a number of different things. It can mean to address or to speak to. It can be done in such a way that we bring words of comfort or words of instruction. We might seek to admonish or correct, to beg or to entreat, to console and encourage, to strengthen. It has all of those ideas wrapped up in it. That's certainly what Paul had in mind when he came to speak to Timothy about the role of the pastor, the under-shepherd of the church. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So this idea of exhorting certainly carries the idea of instructing and strengthening and admonishing, the idea of the things that we do in preaching. But the word itself in our Bible, if we look at it in the original Greek, as we mentioned this morning, it comes from the Greek word parakaleo. That's two words. Kaleo means to call. Para, the prefix, means to means alongside. So to call alongside is what exhortation means in the original Greek. It means to come alongside someone with the object of helping them. We mentioned this morning that we see that typified for us in the Paraclete, that reference to the Holy Spirit who comes alongside to strengthen and to encourage. So we are to strengthen and encourage one another. This is something that we are to engage in. And it's a personal communication. So while it can be done certainly from the pulpit, in the broader sense, really what we're thinking of it as a personal command to you and I to come alongside one another and offer assistance and help where at all possible. So there's a deeper level of communication involved. In the same way that while you may talk to a friend or a neighbour, there's a deeper level of communication when it comes to speaking to your spouse. It becomes much more personal, more intimate. So there's that idea of coming alongside and entering into a close fellowship and a close communication with that person, with the view of encouraging them and strengthening them in the things of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says here. He says, exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. This exhortation, this coming alongside and encouraging, is to be a daily part of the Christian life. Exhort one another daily. And I got to thinking, how is it that we might encourage one another on a daily basis? And so I got to thinking of some of the things that you and I are called upon to do on a daily basis in the Scriptures. Are there things in our Christian life that are expected of us on a daily basis that we might need encouragement with? Well, yes, there are. In Luke chapter 9, for instance, in the verse 23, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So there's to be a daily taking up of our cross. So perhaps that's one of the things that we need daily to be encouraged to do, to take up our cross. So that would seem to suggest to me that being a Christian, that it comes with a certain element of difficulty or even hardship. Following the Lord Jesus Christ will not always be the easy pathway through life. It will bring with it challenges that must be overcome, difficulties that need to be faced down, enemies that need to be stood against. Take up your cross daily. The cross was an emblem of suffering and of shame, and this is something that we are called upon to engage in on a daily basis. So you can understand that perhaps sometimes That can be a difficult challenge. And the temptation then is to give up. The Lord Jesus told the parable of the sower and the seed, and some of the seed fell amongst thorns, and while it sprung up rather quickly, the thorns choked that good seed, and it didn't bring forth fruit. And the Saviour described those thorns and thistles as being the cares of this world. Sometimes the cares of this world can choke out the life of our Christian experience. This idea of taking up our cross daily is a challenging one. And so if we are to exhort one another daily, perhaps that's where we should start. To encourage one another to keep on going. Realizing then that others are watching, that can encourage us on. I'm sure you've probably seen or witnessed those that are competing in sporting events, or maybe in the gym and lifting heavy weights, and they've got someone alongside them to encourage them. One more repetition. And they do one more, and it's one more again. And when they might have given up, that person was there to encourage them to push on through the pain barrier and to give all that they have in pursuit of their goals, to keep on going. To exhort one another to take up our cross daily and to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. To encourage that person to keep on going, to do the right thing, to follow through on the Lord, not to quit on the Savior, not to turn back upon the Lord. There are plenty of people that would seek to discourage us. We need those who will encourage and inspire and come alongside to make sure that person whose strength is waning and it seems that they're buckling under the pressure and they would always be ready to give up, that we inspire them to go just a little bit further. If you're a sports fan at all, you'll probably have a team that you follow, and you'll know that their supporters get behind the team to encourage, to cheer them on. We don't need a jeering squad. We need a cheering squad. We need those that will encourage us, who want what's best for us, to pick up our cross daily and to persevere in the Lord. And when that cross gets too heavy for some, let's be like Simon of Cyrene, who on that day when our Saviour was being brought to Golgotha, staggering under the weight of the cross, following the terrible beatings that he had endured, that Simon was compelled to come and to take up the cross for him. Maybe there's someone that you can think of that's doing it hard at the moment. And you could be a paraclete to them. You could come alongside them. Maybe help lift a little of the burden and be an encourager to them. To come alongside that poor fainting brother or sister and say, let me help you with that. Let me see what I can do. If we're called to take up our cross daily and we're called to exhort daily, let us exhort one another daily to take up that cross and follow Christ. What other daily tasks do we have? Well, we're called upon to pray daily. We're invited by God to pray for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. If we're praying for daily bread, we should be praying for it on a daily basis. The expectation is that we're praying day by day. That's what the Scripture commands us. Our prayer is to be a constant thing. Pray without ceasing, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. Let me encourage you that if you're not already, then you should be praying every day. Daniel was a man of prayer. He sang his children, and daily he prayed three times, morning, at noon, and at evening. Let's take time each day to get alone with God to speak to him in prayer. What should I pray about? Well, why don't you praise him for who he is and what he has done, and confess your sins unto him, and seek your grace to live for him each day, and bring your needs and your concerns to him, casting your cares upon him, knowing that he cares for you. Then pray for others, for your family members, for your loved ones, for your friends, your neighbours, your work colleagues. Pray for his work here in Kingston and across the mission fields of this world. Take the missionary news and your order of service week by week and make it a prayer request unto God. Get yourself a diary or a prayer calendar, and then you can pray for a number of things and a number of people across a week or across a month. Pray for one another. Pray daily. Pray individually. Pray corporately. Make it a point of coming to the church prayer meetings and praying with one another and praying for one another. What a source of encouragement that will be. If we are to exhort one another daily, then what better thing could we do than to encourage one another to pray? To pray. You come along to the prayer meeting and we encourage everyone to pray. And we know that there are some that pray outwardly, and we know that there are many that pray inwardly. And I know for some people to pray outwardly, it seems quite daunting. But it's not a competition. We don't grade each other's prayers, and we certainly don't award prizes at the end for whosoever was best. When we pray, we paracaleo, we come alongside. We listen to the prayers that are being offered, and we come and say, "Yes, Lord, answer that prayer." We add our amen, "So be it, Lord, do those things for your glory and for your name's sake." We pray with each other, and we pray for one another. And we're reminded of the scriptures where the Savior said, "And I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Well, how can two agree in what they ask unless they are coming together to pray? We encourage you to pray, to meet with us in prayer. And we will pray with you, and you will pray with us, and we'll pray together. Let's exhort one another in prayer. What else are we to do daily that we might exhort one another about? Well, we're to read the scriptures daily. We read in Acts chapter 17 of a group of people called the Bereans. And Paul said of them that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They searched the scriptures daily, and Paul commended them for that. There's another daily task that perhaps we need encouraged daily to do. As part of our walk with God, we should not only pray to him daily, speaking to him, but we should read our Bibles daily so that he might speak to us. And our communication is a two-way thing. We should be reading our Bibles every day. As we read our Bibles, we learn more about God and his nature and his character and his will and his plans and his purposes. We read the scriptures, and it teaches us that the things that God desires and demands from us. It teaches us the way that we should go, because God's word becomes a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. As we read the Bible, the Bible will keep us from sin. We learned in Psalm 119, the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." I think it was D.L. Moody that had inscribed in the inside cover of his Bible, I think his mother had penned it there, "This book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book." We need to be in God's Word. And as we read God's Word, we're praying for the renewing of our minds. That's what Paul said in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as we read the Bible, God speaks to us, reveals his truth to us. We learn the importance of the gospel, the message that we're to share with others. How are we going to share a gospel that we can't explain or can't articulate? We find encouragement when we read the scriptures, when we read the great heroes of the faith. We're encouraged to stand fast with God as they stood with God. We desire to be fruitful Christians. The psalmist writes in Psalm 1 of the blessed man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's why we read our Bibles daily. Paul says, exhort one another daily. Let's exhort one another to read the Word of God, to be in the place of prayer, to take up our cross for the Savior, to carry on in this life of faith. And what will that look like? Well, it means we'll ask questions. We'll ask questions. What book of the Bible are you reading today? What did you learn from the scriptures? What are we praying for? How can I help you? How can I pray for you today? It might mean taking someone out for a cup of coffee and sitting down and talking over things and encouraging and exhorting them to keep on going in the things of God. Or inviting them around for a meal and having a spiritual conversation as you sit down and eat together. To be encouragers. To be concerned about the growth of another's faith. To bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I know it can be somewhat nerve-wracking to bring up these things sometimes with others. And certainly Satan would encourage us to stay away from such conversations. We might have to talk about difficult things, especially if there's matters that have arisen that might need to be addressed, but remember, faithful are the wounds of a friend. It's the kisses of the enemy that are deceitful. It's not always easy to make the first move, but the result, I believe, will be worth the effort. Let's exhort one another daily. Notice what else he says, while it is called today. Why does he add that little expression, while it is called today? Because he means us to start now. This is an anti-procrastination phrase. There's an urgency connected to this activity. He wants us to start now, to redeem the time. The days are evil. How many times have we put off making that telephone call, or writing that letter, or getting in touch with that person? And in so doing, we miss out on being the encouragement that we could have been. I suspect if you're anything like me, that you've regretted more the opportunities that you haven't taken rather than the ones that you have. This is an urgent business. Paul says, we're to do it today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's a real danger when we feel to be an encouragement. Not one that we could have encouraged could become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, could fall away from the things of Christ, where perhaps a word of encouragement or an arm around the shoulder might have been of great help and assistance. There's also the danger, of course, that we could become hardened, unconcerned and uncaring about others, and self-centered in our approach to things, and we are the ones that become hardened. But in either way, let's avoid putting off the work of encouragement. Let's roll up our sleeves and see how we might exhort one another daily while it is called today, and be those encouragers in the things of the Lord, to exhort one another, to put that positive spin on things for one another, to encourage one another to live a holy life, to walk close with God, to have that rich enjoyment of the Lord and His word and His ways. Be an encouragement, to exhort one another. Let's set a challenge where we seek to say something to someone every day that will exhort them to live in a closer walk with God. Let that be our goal and our aim every day, to help someone a little bit further along in their walk of faith with Jesus Christ. And I think that when we do that, we will not only encourage them, but we will find that we ourselves will be encouraged along the way. And may the Lord continue to build His church and bless it. And may we be encouragers of one another. Again, we ask the Lord's blessing upon these simple truths for the glory of His name. Amen.